The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We will now finish the Laws of Purim in Simen Kuf Mem Beis. Halacha Vav. Kevan shekol hanes haya ayidei hayayin, since all of the miracles of Purim occurred through wine, Vashti nitrida b'mishteh yayin, Vashti was first deposed through a feast of wine, uba Esther b'mkoma, and Esther came in her place, v'chein inyan haman u'maplosa hayayidei yayin, and Haman and his downfall occurred through wine. Lekach chayvo chachamim zechron levracha liyishtaker b'yayin. So therefore, Chazal obligated us to get drunk with wine. Now, notice it says to get drunk with wine. It sounds like the other forms of alcohol would not qualify. And it does seem to indicate that in Rashi and Megillah, Daf Zayin and Mabez, as well as in the Rambam, where only wine is mentioned as the form of inebriation for Sudas Purim. However, some poskim say that the same thing would apply with other alcoholic beverages as well. This is a machlokis haposkim. Certainly, there are plenty of people in Klal Yisrael who do get drunk on Purim with drinks other than wine. The Amru and Chazal say, Chayav inish libsume bipuria adila yada bein ara haman libarach Mordechai. A person is required to feast so much on Purim. Rashi says feast means with wine. Adila yada, to the extent that he doesn't know the difference bein ara haman libarach Mordechai, to curse this haman, to bless this Mordechai. That's how drunk he has to be. Now, that's pretty drunk. Ulepachos, at the very least, yishter yoser mehergelo, he should drink more than he is accustomed to, kidei liskar eshanes hagado, in order that he will remember the great miracle, v'yishan, and then he will fall asleep. Umitok sheyishan, and once he is asleep, Eina Yodea ben Ara Haman Lebarach Mordechai. At that point, he will no longer know the distinction between Ara Haman to Baruch Mordechai. Now, it is brought down the names of great people that they definitely used to get very, very drunk on Purim, including the Arizal, including Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, including the Vilna Gaon. But that doesn't mean that it is proper for us. Ve'ulam, mishehu cholosh b'tivo, someone who is naturally weak, and it's too difficult for them to get drunk. V'chein mishe yedea ba'atzmai, and also someone who knows about himself. Sha'ayidei kein, that through getting drunk, yizalzel chas v'shalom be'ez a mitzvah, bibracha o b'tfila, that he knows that by getting drunk, so then he'll be lax, or he'll denigrate some mitzvah or bracha or tefillah. By the way, this includes benching. O sheyavo chas v'shalom lekalus rosh, or he will, God forbid, come to a state of lightheadedness. Well, he will not be behaving properly. Mutav shelo yishtaker, it's best for him to not get drunk. Now, this is unfortunately true today, when many young people get drunk and they act in very inappropriate manners. Over the years, during Purim, we've witnessed real atrocities that occurred because people were under the influence of alcohol. Not to mention the danger of chas v'shalom, someone driving drunk. So that's why today, in many yeshivas, they tell the bachurim that they should not be drinking. Now, that does not mean to say that there's no one today who should be getting drunk on Purim. Someone who can act responsibly when they're drunk. Someone that will act L'shem Shemayim, when they're drunk. So these type of people can use their alcoholic state in order to reach greater heights in Yir Shemayim. The Kol Ma'asav Yir L'shem Shemayim. And the Kitzer concludes that all a person's actions should be L'shem Shemayim, whether he does get drunk, whether he doesn't get drunk, but his intent should all be with the proper motivation.
The halacha of getting drunk on Purim is a mitzvah that pertains to the daytime of Purim. We do not find any mitzvah to get drunk at night. However, there is a source that indicates that it was common for people to get drunk on Leil Purim, and that is in the Machzor Vitri, there is a piyut, a very early piyut, which was written perhaps in the 12th century or maybe the 13th century, in which it says, Leil Shikurim Hu Zeh HaLaila L'smoach B'yayin HaTov U'Legila. It says that this is the night of drunkenness. And then it goes on to say, B'leil Hazeh Yishkeru Kol Yitzurim. On this night, all creatures get drunk. It's a very strange piyut, but apparently it was common that people did get drunk at night, even though we don't find any source for it in Halacha. In the Sefer Yerushalayim B'Modeha by Rav Avigdor Nevinzel, he brings down that he heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zitzel that even though Chazal tell us that the days of Purim will never cease, and even in the future we will still be celebrating Purim, nevertheless, the mitzvah of Libesume Adela Yada, that mitzvah will be batal. And the explanation is that it's only in Olam Hazeh that Klal Yisrael is undergoing so many tzaras and so many challenges that we need alcohol to raise our spirits, so that we can forget the pain that is around us. But la'asid lavo, when we will be enjoying the life of truth and of clarity, it will not be necessary for us to have wine in order to reach great heights. And therefore, the mitzvah of getting drunk in the future will no longer be in effect.
Halakha Zayin Ha'avel Afilo Toch Shiva. Someone who's sitting Shiva on Purim, Chayav B'matanos Le'avyonim V'gam L'shloach Manos L'Re'eyo. So he is still obligated in the mitzvahs of Purim, such as Matanos Le'avyonim and Mishloach Manos. U'mikol Makom Lo Yishlach Dovar Shel Simcha. But he still should be careful not to send an item of Simcha. Avol la'avel, but to an avel, ein sholchin manos kol yud beis chodesh. We should not send him mishloach manos within 12 months from the time that his parents passed away. This does not apply to someone who is in avelus over other relatives, because if someone is an avel for a spouse or a sibling or a child, chas v'shalom, so then it would be true only for 30 days that we would not send him mishloach manos. Now, not everyone agrees with this ruling, and the minhag by Sfaradim is that they definitely would send mishloach manos to an avel, and there's basis for this from the Sefer Chasidim and the Sefer Matan Moshe, which bring down that one should not send to the Ovel Mishloach Manos, which include a Dvar Simcha, implying that anything else should be Mutter. However, the Kitzer is basing himself on the Ramah, which is drawing from the Tshuvas Maharil, that says that one may not send seemingly anything, any Mishloach Manos, to the Ovel within 12 months. V'im ein b'mokom ha'hu rak ha'ovel im acher. If in that location there's no one else other than the ovel and one other person, so now who is that other person supposed to send to? chayev l'shloach lo, so he would be required to send to the avel, kidei l'kayem mitzvahs mishloach manas, in order to fulfill his obligation of the mitzvah of mishloach manas. Im hu ani, if the avel is poor, mutar l'shloach lo ma'oz o shar davar, she'eina shel simcha, then it is permissible to send him money or any or food or whatever he needs if it is not an item of simcha. V'im ein b'makam ahu rak ha'avel imachar. Let's say in that location there's no one else there other than the avel and one other person. So who's the other person supposed to send mishloach manas to? So chayiv l'shloach lo, so he would be required to send to the avel, kidei l'kayim mitzvahs mishloach manas, in order to fulfill his obligation of mishloach manas. In the Sefer Pnei Baruch, he quotes Rav El Yashiv as saying that if a man is sitting shiva, his wife is still allowed to accept mishloach manas from her friends, and we don't argue that whatever she accepts belongs to her husband. On the other hand, in the Shuvas Vanhagas of Rav Moshe Sternbach, he says that the friends of the husband, the sitting shiva, are not allowed to play a trick and be deceitful by giving mishloach manas to him by giving it to his wife who is not sitting shiva. That you're not allowed to do. In other words, the heter is only to give it to the wife if it is the intent of her friends to give it to her. But if they're trying to give it to him who, to he who is sitting shiva, then that is not allowed to be done. If there is a funeral that takes place on Purim, so what is done is the relatives of the deceased do tear kriya, and immediately after the levaya, they change their clothing back into regular clothing. The seuda that the mourners eat normally consists of round items such as eggs or beans, so that is not done on Purim because we don't have outward signs of avelus on Purim.
Halacha ches.
Ein lasos melacha bifurim. One may not do melacha on Purim. Umisha osa bo melacha. Eina roa meosa melacha simin bracha liolam. And someone who does do melacha on Purim, so they will never merit to get any blessing out of it. Now this is really a machlokus in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Hei Amud Beis. And the Rishonim all paskin like the opinion that says that it is not usur to do melacha on Purim. But nevertheless, they say it is the wrong thing to do. So when the Kitzer uses the language ein lasas, he doesn't say usur lasas, he says ein lasas, which means one should not. But afterwards he qualifies it and says v'ayidei goy mutter. But to have a goy do melacha for you, there's no problem. It's not like Shabbos when you can't ask a goy to do melacha for you. Umutar lasok bipragmatia. It is permissible to be involved in business. Why? Because that gives him simcha. The same thing would be true about any melacha that by refraining from doing it would cause him a loss. It would be mutter for him to do that melacha on Purim, because Purim is certainly not going to be any more strict than Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed you're allowed to do melacha if it would otherwise cause you a loss. Also, if someone needs this parnasa in order to have food, there's no question that they are allowed to do melacha on Purim. V'chein mutar lichtov afilu igera shalom. It is permissible to write even a social letter, v'chein chovosav, and to take care of his bills, of his debts, v'chol davar, and anything of the sort. She'eino tzarech iyun gadol, which does not require much effort. V'kol shchein lichtav dvar mitzvah, or the more so, is it permissible to write something for the sake of a mitzvah, O lasos shar dvar mitzvah, or to do any work for the sake of a mitzvah. So when we're talking about doing malacha, we're talking about doing malacha which is for your income.
V'chein l'tzorach Purim muter lasas afilo malachas gemuras. And certainly, for the needs of Purim, it is permissible to do even real malachas.
Malacha tes. Yom tesvav Adar nikra etzleinu Shushan Purim. The 15th of the month of Adar, we refer to it as Shushan Purim. It is a day which has some elements of Simcha, even for those who do not live in Yerushalayim. Ein omrim bo tachnun, we don't say tachnun this day, v'lo kel erech apayim, v'lo lam natseach. All the things that we would not say on Yom Tov, we would not say on the 15th of Adar. V'osar gam kein behesped v'taynis, and it is also forbidden on that day to give a eulogy or to fast. V'nogim bo ktsas mishta v'simcha, and on that day we have some degree of feasting and celebrating. Aval ein omrim al hanisim, but we do not say al hanisim. Umutarim lasas bo nisuin, and it is permissible to get married that day. Kevin she'ein anu karim bo es ha-megillah, because we don't read the Megillah then. Aval biyom she'karim es ha-megillah, on the day that we do read the Megillah, she'oz ikar ha-simcha, that's the day of the main joy. Ein osim bo nisuin, it's forbidden to make a chasna on that day. Mishum de'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, because we don't merge one simcha with another. Now, the truth is, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a number of different views on the subject, and not everyone agrees to this opinion.
Halacha Yud. Yom Yud Dalid Vites Vav Sheba'adar Rishon. On the days of the 14th and the 15th of the first Adar, in years in which there are two Adars, Gam kein ein omrim lo tachnun v'lo kelach apayim v'lo lam natzeach. We also don't say tachnun en kelach apayim or lam natzeach. V'yasurin behesbed v'taynis, and it is also forbidden to have a eulogy or to fast. U'biyom yudalid marbim ktsas besuda. And on the 14th of Adar Rishon, so we also increase a little bit with a seuda. Now the Mishnah Berurah points out that this is even true for those people who live in a walled city, like Yerushalayim. So then, during Adar Rishon, it would not be Tesvav that they would have a small Seudah. It would be Dafka on Yud Dalid. Now the Poskim say that a Chasin and Kala who are getting married on that day, meaning on the 14th, of Adar, or the 15th of Adar, so there's some question about what they should do in terms of fasting. As far as the 14th, there we have a number of tshuvas that say that they should not fast. This includes the Aruga Sabosem and others. However, if it's a question of the 15th, so there already it's not so clear, but there certainly are poskim who are lenient. Now this that we say, that you can't eulogize on the 14th or 15th of Adar Rishon, the Tzitz Eliezer brings down that there is a minhag to go to the cemetery at the end of Shiva and at the end of Shloshim and on the yard site, so that you could do even if it comes out on the 14th or 15th of the first Adar. However, you still cannot give a hesped, and you cannot do the Hakamas Matseva on that day. According to the Bir Halacha, in Avel, we're not daven for the Amid on the 14th or 15th of Adar Rishon, because those are days on which we don't say Tachton. The Chasam Sofer, in his Hagos on Gemara Megillah, Davavim and Beis, asserts that by observing Purim Katan, by celebrating on the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon, and by abstaining from Hesped and from fasting, it is a fulfillment of the mitzvah midiraisa of remembering the Purim miracle. The Ramah in the Sefer Darkei Moshe brings down, in the name of the Abu Draham, that there is a minug
to also abstain from milacha on Purim Katan. There's a very interesting idea that the Beis Yosef brings down in the name of the Ran, that on Purim Katan there's no need to give Mishloach Manos, because Mishloach Manos is associated with the mitzvah of Matanos Le'Avyonim. And just like Matanos Le'Avyonim is a mitzvah which is only on Adar Sheni, so too would Mishloach Manos be only a mitzvah which is relevant in Adar Sheni. However, the Kesav Sofer on his Chedushim Al HaTorah, he argues and he says, if it would not be for the words of the Ran, I would say that there should be a mitzvah of Mishloach Manos on Adar Rishon, because really we should associate Mishloach Manos not with Matanos Le'Avyonim, but rather with the Purim Seuda. And there is some idea of having the Purim Seuda on Purim Katan as well. In the Svas Emes, in his commentary on Megillah Davav Amabez, he points out something very unique. He says that it could be that it's the wrong thing to do to have a Seuda on Purim Katan, because it's possible that by eating a Seuda L'Kavod, the Nes Purim, on the first Adar, you will have exempted yourself from the Seudas Purim on the second Adar, which is certainly the time of the Iker Mitzvah. The only way to do it would be if you'd want to eat the Seuda on the first Adar, so you would have to have in mind not to exempt yourself from the mitzvah of Seudas Purim in the second Adar. For people who celebrate Purim on the 14th of Adar, they would not say Al HaNisim on the 15th. And for people who celebrate Purim on the 15th of Adar, the B'nai Yerushalayim, they would not say Al HaNisim on the 14th. But what happens if someone says it by accident? What happens if on the 14th a Ben Yerushalayim accidentally says Al HaNisim, or on the 15th someone from outside Yerushalayim accidentally says Al HaNisim? Would we consider that to be an interruption in their Shemona Esrei or their benching, which would require them to repeat Shemona Esrei or benching? So the Mishnah Berura says that it would not be considered a hefsek, and they would not need to repeat. The truth of the matter is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden brings down that it was the minug of some people that they would lichatchila say Al HaNisim on the 15th of Adar, even though they were living outside of Yerushalayim. Now, this is not the accepted practice, but in the event someone does say Al HaNisim by accident, they would not need to go back. Why is it that on Purim established 2 days for the mitzvah? In other words, where else do you have it that parts of Klal Yisrael will celebrate one day and parts of Klal Yisrael a different day? Even when we have the principle of Yom Tov Sheni Shogolius, there it's not that in Chutz La'aretz they're saying the first day is not the real day, but they had to add a second day because of Minhag HaVaseim B'Yadayim, because they were following the ancient practice of what happened when the messengers would not get there in time. But on Purim, how do we explain why in walled cities there's a different Purim than on unwalled cities? In the Drushas Chsam Sofer, in the first volume, he suggests that Mordechai and Esther were concerned that on Purim is a day that people are so involved in eating and drinking and being misameach that people don't have time to involve themselves in Torah. So what they did was, they said, how can all of Klal Yisrael have a day when there would not be any limud haTorah? They said, let's make 2 days. At least on the first day of Purim, those in the walled cities would be able to learn Torah, and on the second day of Purim, those in the unwalled cities would be able to learn Torah. Of course, Mordechai and Esther could not have anticipated that a time would come when people in Yerushalayim travel to outside Yerushalayim for the first day of Purim, and then everyone goes back into Yerushalayim on the 15th to celebrate the second day of Purim, which ultimately comes out is they have 2 full days of rejoicing and very little Limud HaTorah.